Father, we honor you. We are so grateful for you always. Thank you now just for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our pathway. Help us to move further in you now. I trust you, sir, for freedom of utterance in the Holy Spirit, words that are alive, explosive, dynamic, undeniable, that comes directly from you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's get after it. Praise God. Go ahead and high five somebody around you. Say, you look good this morning. Come on, you can do that at home too. Come on. Yeah. Oh, glory. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, do what? Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Praise God. So we've been dealing with this series called Fresh Vision. Week one, we dealt with the importance of movement, moving with God and moving in God. Your life has to be a continuous movement with and in God, never getting stagnated. And as you move with and in God, you find that God has this thing called his mission that he wants you and I to always move with as well. So we start focusing in last week on the mission. Someone say, stay on mission. Today, though, we want to go into something, you know, else that's tied to the mission, and it's what I call multiplication. Now, Jesus gave the instruction here to the church to go and make disciples. Now, let's make sure we're clear about what disciples are. Disciples are followers of Christ who embrace his sacrifice, his identity, and his mission. So when we start talking about go and make disciples, you're talking about making those who now are followers of Jesus, who are now followers of Jesus, and they embrace his sacrifice, his identity, and his mission. That's what a disciple looks like. And that's what you and I are called to go and make. Now, last week, we were dealing with something as we were talking about this mission, about how to order our lives and our treasure around God's mission. You know, Jesus made it, you know, clear in Matthew chapter 6, we looked at on last week, where your treasury is, there will your heart be also. And, you know, just really began to meditate on this further, like, you know, what does that look like? What does it look like to order our lives and to order our treasure? Our treasure represents our time, our talent, and our money. So let's look at it. Because different people will have different challenges when it comes to ordering your life around, you know, God's treasure, ordering your life and your treasure around God's mission. Number one, for some, the challenge is just with your time. I mean, you're just so busy that you can't see how you have time for God's mission. It's not that you don't want to, it just seems impossible to do. That's all. That's the challenge. For others, the challenge is with your talent. You have a specific set of skills and abilities that seem suited, maybe better suited for the business world or the medical industry, you know, some other type of specific, you know, industry. It's not that you don't really want to use them for God's mission. You just can't see how it would actually help. Or thirdly, others, the challenge is with your money. Financially, you have so many responsibilities that it seems impossible to support God's mission through the faithful giving of your tithes and offering. It's not that you don't want to. It's just you can't see how to without ending up on the street. Just the reality of things. This is why it is so very important that we stay moving with God. This is why the movement is so vital. If you ever get off the movement element, none of these other things, you know, really matter. Everything God does about his mission. Everything. And therefore, it would stand the reason then that he would want every follower of him to then be able to stay on mission as well. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So consequently then, you have to understand that God has obligated himself to give you the solution that you need to stay on mission. So if you have a challenge with your time, God is obligated to make sure that there is a solution so that with the time restrictions and constraints and busyness that you have, that you can still stay on mission. If you have, you know, a challenge with your talent about the things that you do and, well, how does this really work, you know, for God and his mission and the church, God is obligated to give you a solution for that. If you have a challenge where your money is concerned and it just, again, feels so tight and there's just no way I can't see how I can afford to do this, God is obligated to give you a solution so that you can stay on mission. But here's what winds up happening. Let me grab a few folks. Come on, Aiden and Ari, come on down. Where's Corvani and Reagan? Come, let me see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Isaiah, you come on as well. Hey, Wusu, we need you as well. Come on up. Corvani, you come right over here. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Grab that laptop right over there, and you just open it up. I'm going to call for you in just a minute. So now, here's the situation that we have. Matter of fact, you guys all stand up right here, front and center. Yep. Let's see, you come on, stand right over there next to him. Young man, you go ahead and stand right behind him. Doctor, come on, stand right there, you know, and kind of block the way. Now, and then turn a little bit this way. Now, many of our lives can look like my friend here, Ian. Come on, Ian, wave so they can see you back there, huh? That the challenge gets so deep, watch this, that you get boxed in. And you really can't see a way. You can't see a way, you know, for the time. You can't see a way to use your talent. You can't see a way where I can tithe and I can give offering. You just can't see it. It's not that you don't want to. You just can't see it. Now, God, again, is obligated to make sure that you have solution. So here it is now. This young man is under, you know, a serious time challenge. He's like, I want to, but I'm going to school. And I mean, you know, and I cook every Wednesday for the family, you know, at home. And you know, and I'm playing basketball. And you know, and then, you know, I have to, you know, clean up my room. I mean, it's just so many things that's just bombarding him. He just feels like there's just no way I can really do this for God. Not that I don't want to. I just can't really see how to figure it out. But see, God, again, he is Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord God who sees in advance and always gives you the provision. So God then is obligated to then make sure that you have a solution. So you're just in this whole kind of time pressure and you just can't seem how to figure it out. How in the world could I ever make time to be able to do this for God? And now you have to understand, God is not obligated to answer your prayers or requests your way. And one thing about time really is infinite when we just talk about, just totality of things. But when it comes to a day, time is finite. You only have 24 hours. You can pray all you want. You're not getting any more than 24 hours. I'm going to fast and lay before the Lord, and you still going to have 24 hours. So you have an issue with time, and God understands that. And then God, you know, begins to bring into your path this individual now that is extremely administratively gifted, that knows how to maximize time. I mean, they're working things out all the time. Come on, work it out, girl. Work it out. I mean, she's working it out. I mean, and God then brings her into your pathway, but because of the fact that you are stagnant, you can't see it. And again, this is why the movement with God and in God is so vital. Because when you find yourself like this, that just simply means you need to move. I can't see it. I get it. Move. Because when you move, come on, and you get with God, you move with God, you move in God, now all of a sudden you see the provision from God. And now you say, oh, okay, excuse me, can we somehow work something out? Maybe you could take some of these responsibilities I have off of me. If you could take them, now watch this. I got two people doing the same task in the same amount of time. Now we got double the effort. Oh, I just freed up some of my time so that I can stay on mission. God's obligated to give you a solution. The key is, will you move? Will you move to see it? Move far enough, long enough, so that you can see God's provision. Thank you all so much. Praise God. Come on, put your hands together for them. Praise God. Thank you. So you got to move. So where the time is concerned, here's my encouragement to you. Allow God to show you how to rearrange your schedule. to be centered around his mission rather than your agenda, and prioritize time for his mission. For those, maybe talent is the challenge. Allow God to show you how to use your gifts, your personality, your education, training, and resources, etc., to foster and further his mission. You want to be able to bring all of that into harmony with God's great commission. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we did some training with some of our leaders. And so one of our leaders works at the hospital, you know, here, you know, in South Florida. And so she was just like, hey, we could do the training, you know, at my office site, you know, on a Saturday. There won't be any problem. What's going on here? Here's someone that was tapping into how to utilize their gifts, their education, their resources to be able to further God's mission. Be like, come on, we can come in. We got some stuff we can utilize so that we can grow in our leadership and we can grow as disciples. Yes. That's using everything that we are to be on mission. Got another, one of our leaders here, they have a transportation, you know, transport, you know, and kind of delivery company. And so, you know, have the Sprinter van and so forth. And so now here it is. We had, you know, matters going on, you know, with Hurricane Ian that happened over on the west coast of Florida, you know, last year. And so we took over, you know, turkeys and food and all kind of stuff. Made a couple of trips over there. And they were just like, hey, I got the Sprinter. We can load up the Sprinter and I'll take everything over. What's going on? Using the resource that you have for the mission. There are ways, countless ways, but you will never see them if you allow yourself to stay stuck in that position of, I just don't know how I can do it. And let's be clear here. I'm going to say this, you know, for the mature folks in the house. It's a cop-out. All right. Thank you. And then the money challenge. Here's my encouragement to you. Allow God to show you how to reorganize your finances and responsibilities. To prioritize faithfully tithing and giving offerings to his mission above all else. Watch this. That may mean you may need to make some lifestyle adjustments so that you can make room for God's mission at the top of your financial plan and portfolio. And that's how you develop treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. So now today, let's lock in on this thing called multiplication. Someone say, I was made to multiply. You better believe it. With multiplication, you have to understand, within the DNA of God's mission for the church is this multiplication gene. So where the mission is concerned, this thing has this multiplication that just flows all through it. So we can say the mission is this. The mission is to be a disciple that makes new disciples and commissions the new disciples to do the same. Let me say that again. God's mission is to be a disciple, make new disciples, and then commission the new disciples to do exactly the same. Or I can say it short this way. The mission is multiplication. Yeah. It's multiplication. You know, one particular author it's a book. It's called Designed to Lead. Great book. They make this statement I think is very excellent. It says, if a local church embraces the mission to make disciples of all nations, then there is no other palatable strategy but to make more leaders to press the mission forward. There's no other strategy but to make more leaders to press the mission forward. This mission of multiplication. Listen very closely. Impact Church is committed to the multiplication of Christ throughout the community. We're committed to multiplication. Now listen, our church does not exist just to meet the spiritual needs of a few. That's not the case here. We are here to expand this gospel across cultures, across communities, across continents, praise God. That's why we're here. We came into existence that way. You realize this church, this local church exists because there was multiplication mindset, not just with a pastor someplace else, but the people with the pastor thinking, let's multiply. And if you can get so locked up in just trying to consume spiritual needs for yourself that you miss the element that, wait a minute, we've been called to multiply. Impact's environment is designed to inspire you out of your comfort zone. I'm prayerful that I make you uncomfortable. If I'm not making you uncomfortable, I'm not doing my job. If you're comfortable around here, see me after this worship experience so I can adjust my game plan towards you. Our environment is designed to inspire us all out of our comfort zones so that we can be the leader we were intended to be by God before the foundation of the world. And that is leaders, watch this, that are disciples, that make disciples, and then we commission those disciples to go make disciples. That's what this environment is all about. So every time you run into that wall of comfort, like, I don't know, that's God trying to promote you. Let him move you. Let's understand this, a little brief history. God's purpose from the beginning was multiplication. So we read there, of course, what Jesus said, go and make disciples in Matthew chapter 28. But that's not where it began. Not even close. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 talks about, you know, God says, let us make man, humanity, in our image and after our likeness. Then verse 28, he says this specifically about the man and the woman that he created. It says, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 says, then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. Then later on in the same chapter, verse 7, he gives them this imperative then. He says, now be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth. It says, now be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth. Now understand something. This is more than just instruction to procreate. This is not about just simply having babies. God is trying to instruct them, and God is instructing us. What I'm interested in the earth is more of me. So it's never just simply about God just want like, oh, I just want people just to have babies and be happy. God says, no. The whole purpose behind all of that is for there to be more of me, more of my presence, more of my glory. Hence, you begin to see it here. Isaiah prophesies this about what's coming here for our earth in chapter 11, verse 9. He says, nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. Come on now. The earth will be filled with people who know the Lord, who have intimacy with the Lord, who are in relationship with God. God says, I want a reproduction of myself. So when we're talking about disciples, we're not talking about making us. We're talking about now reproducing Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended. This is talking about Jesus, of course, who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. That he might, listen, he might fill the entire universe with himself. If you fill the entire universe with Jesus, then what room is there left for anything else? Because God's heart desire was multiplication from the very beginning. And Jesus really just comes and watch this. He reminds the disciples of that, and he reminds us of that, and then he gives us the how-to. Go make disciples. Go make disciples of me. Followers of me who embrace now my sacrifice, my identity, and my mission. That's what I'm looking for. Jesus is calling. Praise God. So if the church then is going to really be the church, then we have to be multiplication minded. There's no other way around it. It cannot be centered around kind of our spiritual needs or wants. Oh, it's got quiet now. We'll come back to that. Every seed produces after its own kind. Every seed. You will never plant an apple seed and an orange grove comes up out of the ground. You will never plant a watermelon seed and start getting mangoes. Two monkeys are not going to come together and make a lion. Two cats not going, you know, hook up and make a dog. And when a man and a woman come together, we only make humans. Every seed produces after its own kind. Now, here's why this is so significant. Because we don't reproduce what we know, we reproduce who we are. So if we're going to make disciples of Christ, then we have to be disciples of Christ, fully devoted. Because every seed produces after its own kind. It really doesn't matter. And this is where the church has missed it, you know, for years and years and years, because we think we can make disciples off of what we know. So we teach people, but then we're not who we teach. You know, I'm not going to, you know, call out specific names and so forth, because, again, everyone, you know, can have challenge, you know, in different areas and so forth. But, you know, it is absolutely heartbreaking for the number of, listen to me, centuries that within, you know, certain kind of church, you had, you know, pedophilia going on. Now, okay, come on, up teaching a lesson. But who you really are. And then we reproduce the same thing. And this is why it stayed in that church for so long. And still struggles in it today, by the way. But I'll leave that alone. And this again is why constant movement with God is so indispensable. The issue should be that those that we are invested in and are connected with us. Come on, that would be disciples. They catch our rhythm in Christ, and then they begin to experience their own transformative movement. It's like a good strong stream, you know, kind of rushing rapids or something. Everything flows downstream. If you get in it, I don't care. You're going downstream. And seeing that's the kind of, you know, case. Now we're like these rapids. We're flowing in the direction of Christ. And if you connect with us, you can't help yourself. You're going to. Yes. Flowing. Yes. We're making disciples who make disciples. But here's the reality. For many people that go to church and are part of church or, you know about church, many people are what I call just kind of like thankfully saved. God rescued me. And it's, watch this, nothing wrong with being thankful. I'm just so glad God rescued me and delivered me and, you know, so forth. But if you listen long enough, you'll be able to kind of hone in on the fact that their whole salvation experience really is centered around them. And listen, if that's where you wind up resting, where everything's centered around you, you're off mission. You're off mission. And that's not the multiplication we want to see anymore. Let me diagram it for you. Here, look up on the screen. Because what I call this is a consumer-minded life. Having a consumer-minded, life. That this my life. God is at the top of it. You know. He's my top priority. The problem is God is just one of many priorities. So God's, yes, the highest, you know, but I got my family, you know, my family's, you know, pretty high too, my family, you know. So, hey, you know, sometimes, sometimes, you know, God just have to understand, I have to, you know, my family. money and life responsibilities, business, work, church. I mean, we can go down a long list of things. This is unfortunately what most people wind up gravitating into as Christians, because we are all, developed from this kind of consumeristic mindset and culture, because we want everything to please us. Come on now, you ain't going back to that restaurant when the waitress was nasty to you. You'd be like, I'll take my money somewhere else. That's a consumer. So we take that kind of same kind of mindset. Come on, I'll go in, even a little further. Come on, ladies, you can go into that salon and she then jacked your hair up. True story. My wife, Rhonda, went to hair salon, one woman. This was early years when we first moved down. So just trying to find someone, that was reliable. And the woman's doing her hair. And I guess her husband had another little side business he was doing, and he needed some help. And he was like, hey, I need you to stop. You got to help me go deliver this stuff. So she said, listen, can you come back in 2 hours and I'll finish your hair? So my wife shows up at the office. I'm at the office working, and her hair half did. Not done, did. I was like, maybe, did you happen to see what they did? So she starts to explain to me what's going on. Now, how many know we'd never go back there again? That was it. It's like, all right, we're about to find somebody else to finish off, things. That is absolutely ridiculous. But see, that's the consumer in us. And that's a part of us. There's a place for that. But I got news for you. It's not in the kingdom. Here's how God really lays this out for us. It's what I call a multiplication-minded life. A multiplication-minded. God and his mission are the foundation. If you go back in history, for many of centuries, people thought that the world was flat. And then they discovered something that, no, this thing is round, and there's actually like this solar system out there. But here is where they got stuck for a while, is that the earth is the center and everything revolves around this earth. And then the individuals kept studying and realized, no, that's not the case at all. The earth indeed is significant, but everything in this solar system and therefore really this universe is, revolving around the sun. That's the way your life and my life is designed to be, to revolve around the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. Got to make a shift, though. God and his mission is at the core, the crux. It's the trunk. It's what everything is breathing from. So your family, my family, business, work, school, training, money, life responsibilities, relationships, recreation, leisure, come on, retirement, planning and thinking about your next generations. All of those things are supposed to come out of God and his mission. So here's 5 points about a multiplication-minded life diagram I want to make sure you lock in on. Number one is that our lives emerge out of our connection with God. That's what your life and mine emerges out of. If that connection is not there, by default, you kind of slip right into that whole consumer-minded life, where God is a priority, but I got other priorities too. No. God's at the center of this. Two, our lives are built upon the foundation of God and his mission. We are not the center of life. He is. The different aspects and priorities of our lives are merely branches to the core and bedrock that is God and his mission. just merely branches. Our lives are designed to express the beauty of his presence and purpose. Come on, just like a branches, you know, with the leaves on and so forth. Now it's just showing all this beauty. This is what our lives are designed. These things, like our family, our business, our work, our school, our training, it's all designed to express the beauty of God's presence and God's mission. Every aspect of our lives is to be an expression of our intimate relationship with God and the mission to which he has commissioned us to. That's what our lives come down to. Right there, praise God. Centered on God and his mission. The consumer-minded life diagram is one we have to fight against, because our natural tendencies, that's where it wants to gravitate, because that's how we've been trained most of our lives. So you have to intentionally move in your thinking that, wait a minute, no. God is the center here. God is the core. God is the bedrock. God and his mission. So that's why God wants me to stay on mission. That's why it's so important to him. Let's wrap up right here to understand, again, just the overall importance of multiplication for all of us. The creator of the chess game, roughly about 1,500 years ago, the game chess was created in India. Not sure of the gentleman's name. I'm not sure if anyone really knows the name exactly. The king, though, of India was so extremely impressed by this game creation that he said to the creator, hey, make a wish and I'll grant it to you. So the inventor of the chess game kind of, you know, stood back and thought for a little bit and says, well, tell you what I want. I'd like for you to go ahead. Come on, bring it up on the screen. I'd like for you to go ahead and give me one kernel of rice on the first square. Give me two on the second square and just keep doubling it for every square. So you'll see there the top row would look like, you know, this. That's your first one is one, then it's two, then it's four, then it's eight, then it's 16, there's 32, there's 64, 128. So when the inventor made this request, the king kind of, you know, laughed for a minute, like, okay, that's all you want is some rice? You just want some kernels of rice? Like, okay, this is not going to be any big deal. And then he started to think about it. And the king was like, whoa, wait a minute. I can't do that. Because mathematically, this multiplication explodes. So you look at the next, and you'll see what you actually have going on here is that you have now, you know, got one kernel on that first square, then it's two to the first power, two to the second, third, fourth, you know, fifth, sixth, and seventh. But when you get to that last row, you are two to the 63rd power, which equals 2 quintillion, 223 quadrillion, 372 trillion, 36 billion kernels of rice, which is equivalent to 153 tons, and the world can't harvest that in 1,000 years. See, this inventor understood the power of multiplication. And he understood it's not how much you start with, it's how you focus what you have. Multiply. 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 The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ goes in 200 years, right there in the beginning, after Jesus, you know, life, death, burial, and resurrection. In 200 years, really less than 200 years now, you know, develops from nothing to 20 million people. So by 200, you know, AD, there's 20 million Christians in the earth. You know how many Christians that are in the earth today? Over 2 billion. Over 2 billion. That's multiplication. But I got news for you, God's not done yet. Because here's the reality. There's over 7 billion people on the planet. So we got to step up our game. 2 billion, though. is where we are right now. So here's how we end. Every week there's a challenge. So I know you were ready for this one and excited for it. Say, give it to us, Pastor. This one is twofold. First is this: foster and maintain a fervent commitment to multiplication. Come on, foster and maintain a fervent commitment to multiplication. That's multiplication of Jesus through your life. That's multiplication of Jesus through your family, through your business, through your job, through your school, through your church, through your community. Have this intentional mindset that I am multiplying. And I'm not just multiplying anything, I'm multiplying Jesus. Secondly, make a decisive decision to bring one person to the Lord this year and commit yourself to disciple them and to give them the challenge to do exactly the same. One. Each one of us, challenge, make one disciple this year. Make one disciple of Christ. Now again, every seed produces after his own kind. So be the disciple that you're looking to make first. But then let me set some people free too. That doesn't mean perfection either. Amen. Like, well, I'm just not ready. Look, if perfection is the measuring stick, ain't none of us ready. So that's not the issue. Just go and do. Be committed and be surrendered, you know, to Christ. But make this decision, a decisive decision, to bring one person to the Lord this year. That means you got to put this somewhere. You got to put this in your prayer journal. Maybe, you know, put this up on, you know, a sticky on your mirror that, you know, one disciple this year, Lord. Send someone my way. Direct me to someone. Come on, you're going to have to keep it in front of you if you're really going to be serious about this. One disciple. And as you're doing so, watch this, you're committing them to disciple others as well. Now, challenging each of us as the church, as individuals to do this. And then the challenge with Impact Church of South Florida is over the very, you know, next short period of time is for us to multiply as well. See, what if every Christian took the challenge that, hey, I'm going to make sure that I duplicate myself just once this year. One disciple, not duplicating Christ, just one. And then what if every church says, you know what, we're going to duplicate, at least two, you know, churches out of ourselves. We're going to duplicate at least two churches. I think every church should duplicate, you know, and multiply at least twice in its given lifetime. At least twice. That only happens, though, when you have people that are on mission. People are focused on mission. Everyone is locked in on mission. That's the challenge that's before us. So, Father, give us the wisdom and the direction and the favor to be able to fulfill what you're challenging us to do today. That we stay resolutely committed to multiplication in our own lives, in every place that we go and all that we are involved in. And, Father, that we just listen to your voice to know exactly the right individuals and people to connect with, Father, so that we can make disciples of you this year. And we challenge them to do the exact same thing. Father, we know you are multiplication minded. It's all throughout your word, and it's the heartbeat of your mission. So help us as individuals to have that mindset. Help us collectively as a church body to have that mindset that we are here to multiply. I thank you for this, sir, and give you praise in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God.